a letter this morning. This is the way my letter read. I got a letter this morning. This is the way my letter read. Say you better come on home from a job. Tell me your baby dead.
We're listening to Mississippi Delta blues musician Johnny Farmer. A bulldozer driver by trade, Farmer was discovered and recorded by Matthew Johnson. In the early 90s, Johnson started Fat Possum Records so he could record the raw Delta and Hill Country blues he heard in the juke joints around his home in Oxford, Mississippi. He felt if he didn't record this music now, it would be lost forever. But one word of warning. Don't call Matthew Johnson a folklorist.
I once had a family member accuse me of being a folklorist. I'm not at all. I was like, no. To me, the agenda a lot of times is just to record something, not make a great record. It's hard enough trying to make something good with the focus on that. When you're just trying to record it or preserve it, it sort of lowers the goal.
And one of the things you've done, and Fat Possum Records has done, that's clearly different, I guess, from a preservationist, is you've done some remixes of traditional music, putting a hip-hop DJ together with an original performer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about how you came to do that and how it works?
You know, a lot of people do think that it's sort of sacred and that we are being very irreverent. There's no other genre that's sort of valid where you would be taken to task for taking advantage of, like, technology that's 15 or 20 years old already. You know, I mean, it's sort of insane. I mean, it's like, I feel that, like, I'm trying to sort of sell something like Jimi Hendrix music to a world that's never heard Jimi Hendrix, but only all of the bad imitators.
Well, let's hear some of this. This is T-Model Ford's Look What All You Got.
Okay.
Something on my shoulder, waiting for your babe. I got something on my shoulder, you're just waiting for your babe. I got something on my shoulder, you're just waiting for your babe.
That's pretty nice. And but then what you did with it, or one of the things you did anyway, is to create a hip-hop version of that.
I got something on my shoulder. Oh, waiting for your babe.
Baby. For your baby.
I got something on my shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're just waiting for your babe.
Now, that's quite a change. I mean, it's like a time warp here.
Mm-hmm. I always thought there was a natural connection between hip-hop and blues. Everything from the marketing to the imaging to the lyrics to everything, I thought it was a perfect fit. You know, I mean, I was looking at an old, old Charlie Patton record that they had advertised Charlie Patton as the devil's stepchild. All of that stuff, all the sort of imaging from the 20s that they used for these blues guys to sort of create a sort of aura or danger or whatever about them, obviously exactly like hip-hop. And then, like, I guess the late 90s, maybe 2001, whatever, you know, there was a lot of sampling coming out of gospel and everything else from the big hip-hop records. And I thought it was going to work its way down to blues, or, you know, because they would sort of exhaust different genres of music or sort of always searching for something new. remember at one point, even I think it was a Nas record and a couple of other records, it would have like Spanish classical guitar like elements in there, you know? I was thinking, Jesus, blues has got to be next. It kind of never really worked. I mean, it never really was.
And how did the hip-hop artists doing these remixes, how did they respond to the music?
A lot of hip-hop guys, they just did not like it. To them, the blues sort of was representative of a time that they would rather forget, or some of them saw it as like almost a badge of disrespect, like pushing a broom or something. And I never understood that. I mean, I thought it was a lot more edgy, a lot, you know what I mean? The blues had by then become something that long-haired white kids play, literally, you know? It sort of had been taken out of their world. I mean, it was almost like the sort of Dan Aykroyd or House of Blues thing, or that was their image of it. I mean, not the really good records could they remember. Did a lot of these guys, were they even familiar with? You know, you do go into like the section of a blues store, or if they even got a blues record section, and there are usually some really horrible records in there. And it's tough to sort of find the good stuff. You know, a lot of these guys totally hated it. You know, when someone says, will you allow these DJs to remix it? It wasn't allowing, it was usually just bribing them. and you know, usually you could like get someone to remix something and say, well, look, you can use these samples or whatever. There was like no interest from a lot of guys at all.
Does it ever bother you? I mean, you got into this because you really liked the blues and you'd heard this music and it wasn't recorded. But what's selling is not the blues as it was, but these remixes. These are the mm-hmm. things that are your top-selling CDs, right?
You know, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, if it's not changing or something's not evolving, it's dead. That's probably the big problem with blues. I mean, it's totally stopped. I mean, the songs now you hear, or like on a local Bill Street or tourist thing, it's sort of like songs about songs. It's lost all of its edge. You know, you used to see these things on the film where you would have John Lee Hooker or somebody opening up for Jefferson Airplane or whoever, and now you don't anymore. You see blues sort of relegated to some sort of club that's all it does on Thursday night, and it's got the same sort of audience, so people are more not even really going for the music. It's just a scene or something.
It's bad, you know.
That's Matthew Johnson, head of Fat Possum Records. We're listening to R.L. Burnside from the TV hit The Sopranos. It's the remix version of R.L.'s song, It's Bad, You Know, the top-selling song on Fat Possum Records.
She asked me why. I just went on tour.